WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, November 11th, Veterans Day. Coming up, several new tick-borne viruses have been identified in the Midwest in the past decade. We'll learn how scientists are working to identify the next generation of tick-borne illnesses. That story's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Attorneys for a woman who alleges she was raped by a Lyft driver in Chicago are asking the Illinois Supreme Court to overturn a state law that shields rideshare companies from liability. Hannah Meisel has more.
A woman only referred to as Jane Doe alleges her Lyft driver kidnapped her and repeatedly raped her at knife point after she fell asleep on her ride home in July 2017. The driver is still awaiting his criminal trial, but the passenger also sued Lyft, claiming the company was negligent and should be held liable for her pain and suffering. Lower courts have sided with Lyft, however, finding a 2014 Illinois law regulating the industry specifically classified rideshare drivers differently than taxi drivers, whose companies can be held liable for what their drivers do.
Had Jane raised her hand to hail a cab and then been kidnapped and raped, we wouldn't be here.
That's Jane Doe's attorney, Timothy Eaton, who told the justices that Illinois' law creates, quote, second-class rape victims, and asked that the court strike it down. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Illinois State Treasurer Mike Frerichs is trying to find the owners of 11 unclaimed Purple Hearts. Despite calling, letter writing, internet research, advertising, and on-the-ground outreach, he says his office has not yet found owners or their relatives.
We have run into dead ends. The cases have grown cold, and we're calling on the public to help us return these medals.
There's no way to tell how old the honors are or which war they came from. The federal government does not keep a database of Purple Heart recipients, and the medals themselves do not have a name marked on them. The only information available to Treasury staff is the name of who rented the safe deposit boxes. People who think they have leads should visit the Treasurer's website and go to the unclaimed property page or call the office. It's been nearly 2 weeks since the FDA authorized the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for kids aged 5 to 11. In that time, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District says it's vaccinated roughly 1,250 kids. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more on one such vaccination.
6-year-old Keen Tong walks with his father into the iHotel and Conference Center in Champaign. Helpers point him towards a nurse at a desk. There, Keen picks out a dinosaur-patterned Band-Aid. His father, Chun Tung, is relieved to get Keen vaccinated.
We are homeschooling because of, you know, concerns about COVID. But now, with this, we're actually thinking about getting him back to school next semester.
Now, the Tongs are just waiting for kids under 5 to become eligible for a shot so they can protect their 2-year-old from the virus. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
County health officials reported yesterday that a man in his 70s has died of COVID-19. He's the 211th person to die of COVID in Champaign County. Public health officials reported 94 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The number of active cases is at 635. That's up by more than 250 in the last week. 8 Champaign County residents are currently hospitalized with the virus. Meanwhile, Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 31 patients hospitalized with COVID-19. That's the lowest number since late July. 9 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, we head to the St. Louis area to see how scientists are working to discover new tick-borne illnesses. We'll get that story from Shayla Farzan coming up next on 217 Today.
News, brews, and beats, an after-work experience for diverse voices to engage in breakthrough conversations and realistic solutions for what's being done to combat community gun violence. Join us Monday, November 15th at 6 p.m. at Poor Brothers Tap Room on University Avenue in Champaign. Details at will.illinois.edu.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Several new tick-borne viruses have been identified in the Midwest over the last decade, including the Heartland virus, first discovered in Missouri. But researchers say these are only the ones we know about, and more viruses are likely to emerge in coming years. As Shayla Farzan reports, scientists are working to identify the next generation of tick-borne illnesses.
On a recent summer afternoon outside St. Louis, two scientists drove along a rutted gravel road, a plume of dust trailing behind them. They hopped out of their SUV, wearing knee-high gaiters over their boots, and hiked into the forest at Washington University's Tyson Research Center. That day, they were going hunting for ticks. As it turns out, it doesn't take that much equipment to collect a lot of ticks here.
So we have sections of cloth that we're going to lay on the ground, and then Tupperware where we put dry ice.
Solny Adelstensen is an ecologist at Tyson. She says the dry ice is the most important component because it releases carbon dioxide. The Lone Star tick, the most common species in Missouri, actively searches for animal hosts through the carbon dioxide they exhale.
They're so aggressive. When they sense you, they just will chase you down. And that's why these dry ice traps work really well.
About an hour later, the cloth on the ground was crawling with dozens of ticks. And that's a good thing, because these researchers want as many as they can get. It's all part of an ongoing study to track how common tick-borne viruses are at the reserve. David Wang is working with Adelstensen and others on this project. The WashU microbiologist says two new tick-borne viruses have recently emerged in the Midwest. The Heartland virus, first diagnosed in two Missouri farmers in 2012, and Bourbon virus, discovered a few years later in Kansas. But, he says,
there's no way that those are the only two tick-borne pathogenic viruses here. And it's just that people haven't been looking.
Wang says there are probably other new viruses that have gone undiagnosed, simply because doctors don't know what they are.
The classic way that medicine works is you look for the usual suspects. But again, you can only find what you're looking for. So when it's negative for everything, then what do? In order to find something that's not in the usual set, you need to take a different approach.
In this study, they're using genetic sequencing to figure out what kind of viruses the ticks are carrying. And that involves literally mashing up a lot of ticks. Ishmael Aziati is a postdoctoral researcher who's processed thousands of them so far. The ticks are divided up into plastic tubes filled with tiny steel balls, each one smaller than a sesame seed. Aziati pops the tubes into a whirring machine in a WashU lab.
We want to break the ticks up and release its contents. And so this machine, it just mechanically will shake these stones up with the beads hitting each other.
It's the first of many steps to extract the genetic material from these ticks. Later, he'll feed the data into a computer. And here's where it gets interesting. The research team will compare the genetic sequences to known viruses to see how closely they match and which ones could be new variations. It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack, says Deborah Hudman. She's a tick researcher at A.T. Still University in Kirksville, Missouri, who is not affiliated with the study.
The viruses, we know they're here, and they're really scary because they kill people. But there are very low prevalence, and they're really hard to detect. It's, you know, like 1% of ticks.
Hudman says these projects take a lot of time, energy, and money, partly because you have to test a lot of ticks. Despite the challenges, she says this kind of research is vital in Missouri, which she calls a Goldilocks environment for ticks.
It is just absurd the number of ticks that are here. We're just in that sweet spot. We're not too hot, not too cold, not too dry. So, and we have a lot of wildlife. We have a lot of forests.
And with climate change expected to expand tick ranges and their seasonal activity in the U.S., studying these new diseases could become even more pressing in the future. I'm Shayla Farzan.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies with rain likely and a high of 56 degrees. And on this Veterans Day, a sincere thank you to everyone who has served our country. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Caroline Kobzanski, Emily Hayes, and Shayla Farzan. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.